If you have your Bibles, please open them to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. And we will continue our study of God's Word in the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And that's where we're going to be in today. So Malachi chapter 2. And we are going to read verses 1 through 9. It's the next unit in this book. So Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And as we have been mentioning, this book is highly, highly confrontational. It is a rebuke of God to His people, an indictment per se. And the book is confrontational in nature, and that's what this series is like, following God's Word and the way He revealed it. So look at now, last week we looked at how God rebuked everyone for their false worship and for bringing God the leftovers of everything they had. And so now He's going to rebuke the priests and see what God has to say to the priests. Look at verse 1 in chapter 2. "And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring, and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. The true instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of priests should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. But for he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction." Malachi had to deal with a great variety of sins, and as we have seen, sins among the clergy, among the priests, sins among the people. And in this section, in the previous section, he dealt with cheap worship, bringing God the leftovers. The way they treated God with contempt and said, "Oh, what a weirdness this is. This is boring. I'm tired of stuff. I'm tired of God." And we saw how we sometimes do that. We get tired of church. We get tired of Bible studies. And, you know, we stop attending church. We only come when we have time, right? And that's the way we treat God, as if He's just an accessory. We don't really care much about Him. We say we do with our words because we're a religious society, just like the Jewish. But we don't. We offer Him the leftovers. And I hope you meditated on that this week, and that you check your heart if you're giving God the leftovers. And so now, he's going to rebuke the priests. Because whenever there are such violations among people who claim to be followers of the Lord, it is always due to bad teaching, or it's not just bad teaching, but the priest allowing bad stuff to happen. Somehow the people have the idea that, you know, that there were things that these things were not sin. You know, giving God the leftovers of your time, your money, and your effort. And or that they could just get away with it. And so Malachi turns this passage, in this passage, to the priest and say, "You are allowing that." These ministers were failing to do what they were supposed to do. And so God blames the priest for the problems. But blaming the priest in this passage in no way lets people off the hook, right? It doesn't mean that people were not guilty or that they were innocent. They were responsible for their sin, even if they weren't aware that the scripture said something about it. But they were aware. And just like you and me, the guilt, the fact that you may have some leaders, at some point you may have had some leaders that do not preach the truth,
or that do not confront sin does not mean that people are not responsible. Even if people did not teach you the truth, you're still responsible because you have God's word to obey. Right? And so, but God is going to turn to the priest because their guilt was far greater than, you know, because they allowed false teaching and they condoned sin in the congregation. And now, you must remember that Jesus always instructed people to listen to the Pharisees when they read the law. He said, listen, when they sit in the synagogue, they read the law of Moses, listen, because it is God's word that is being read. But he also warned them, and he told the people to be careful with the doctrine and the leaven of the Pharisees, their false teaching and their false practices. And that's the same teaching we have today. In 1 John, he says, 1 John chapter 4, test the spirits. Do not believe anything you're told. Or everything you're told, I'm sorry. Don't believe everything you're told. You hear a lot of preachers out there. You hear a lot of people, a lot of advisors, a lot of experts. Don't believe everything you hear. Test, the Bible says. Test if it's from God. Because not everything you hear, not everything you read, not everyone who claims to be a pastor is truly preaching the truth. And so Jesus even warned about that. But these truths are still applicable to us because those who minister, that is, those who are pastors, those who wish to be pastors, some of you here today wish to be pastors someday. Some of you are in Bible school or have been in the ministry. Some are missionaries, you know, and you are in some ministry of teaching the word. Some of you teach the children here in our church. So you are in a place, in a position where you teach others. Some of you teach your children at home. So it is all applicable. And you must be careful how you interpret the Bible and how you teach the Bible and especially how you live it out. And so, to those who hear the scriptures, you must always test a message and run it through the scripture to know if the message is true or not. But you know what? Today, both preachers, many preachers, and churchgoers are failing. They're not testing. They're not going to the Bible. They're just swallowing everything. And when they try to swallow God's word, they gag because they're not used to that. And so, God is going to rebuke the priests. And if I could summarize this passage in one sentence. Let me just turn this on. Sorry. It would be this. This would be a big idea or the summary of the whole passage in one sentence. Because you are a priest of the Lord, you must take God and His teaching seriously. Because you are a priest of the Lord, you must take God and His preaching and His teaching seriously. Last week we said you must take His worship seriously. Do not forget to worship, you know, the right way. But today God says you must take His name and His teaching seriously. You must take God seriously. You must take His teaching seriously. But how do you take God and His teaching seriously? How do you take His name in a serious way? Well, the first way we find in this passage is that you must listen to and obey God with all your heart. You must listen and obey God with all your heart. Look at verse 1. And now, O priest, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts. So God, conversely, obviously, He's saying, you do not listen. You do not take it to heart. So conversely, what God wants you to do is that you listen and that you take it to heart. And He addresses the priest and says, and now, O priest. And he tells them, this command is for you. And what is that command? And I believe that command is found in verse 2. He says, if you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart, to give what? Honor to my name. So they didn't honor God's name. And do you know, in the Bible, as we said last week, remember we talked about the name of God, the Lord of hosts, that appears in this passage many times, in this book, I'm sorry. God who reigns in the heavens. So God, in the old times to the Israelites, and even in the New Testament, revealed himself through his names. So the name of God was not just something you called him. Not just God, God, God. It was something about his character. See, in our names today, for the most part, it's just a mere way of differentiating ourselves from others, right? And we like cool names, right? But it's not that in the Bible. A name revealed character. That's why Jacob is called Jacob, which means deceiver, right? And his name is changed. That's why Esau, right? It's called Red or Hairy, right? He had a lot of hair, the Bible says. And he was red hair. And so Edom means red. Remember we learned about Edom in the first few verses, which is the people of Esau. But anyway, so throughout the Bible you find names. And names mean something because they reveal character or actions. And God's name reveals his character. And he is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of the universe, the host of angels, the host of the universe. And they did not care about his name, so they were not honoring him. And they took God's name in vain. And that taking God's name in vain happens with our words and with our actions, our behavior of indifference to him. But there are other ways, you know. They took God's name in vain by bringing polluted offerings, by saying, "Ah, God, we despise this. We despise it. Oh, this is boring, God. This is boring." But you know what? We take God's name in vain sometimes with our actions. When you give him your leftovers, when you give him, you know, bad offerings, the leftovers of your time and money and effort. But also, sometimes we take God's name in vain with our words. And today, many people do it. They take God so lightly. And there are many ways in which they refer to him. You ever heard the expression, "Oh my God"? I bet you half of you say it all the time. In the Bible, when the expression, "Oh my God," was said, was because they were about to access the throne of God. And they were about to appeal to God for mercy, for grace. And they were about to access the throne of God. And they're going to access God. And they said, "Oh my God," when they accessed the Lord. When they spoke to God directly, they were invocating God's name. It was a plea to be heard. But today we take it so lightly, right? We just use it in moments of excitement, anger, you know, shallow happiness. And we say, "Oh my God," for everything. And you take the Lord's name in vain. Exodus 27 says, "Do not take the Lord's name in vain." Because his name means his character. It isn't something light. So when you use that phrase, you're taking God's name in vain. You're using it vainly. You're not saying, "God, I plead, give me mercy, I come to you." No, it's just you using it in vain. Without any real meaning to it. Far worse is the short version of it in text messages nowadays, right? OMG. You know how many people text that OMG? Take God's name in vain. Especially young people text it a lot. Another one is, you know, when people say, "Oh, Jesus Christ." And they use it almost as a curse. They take his name in vain. And if you've done so, you must really repent, because God takes his character, his name, so seriously. Another way in which we take God's name in vain, I believe, is when you say to somebody, "I will pray for you." You ever told somebody, "I will pray for you," but you just say it, you know? Because you don't really pray for them. It's just a nice Christian thing to say, right? "I'm praying for you. I'll pray for you." Why is that taking God's name in vain? Because when you're going to pray to somebody, for somebody, you speak as a Christian who can speak directly to God, who can access the throne and say, "Oh my God, I pray for this person." You are promising to the other Christian that you're going to speak to God in their behalf. And you take it so lightly as prayer, as if prayer was something so light. And if you don't do it when you said you would, you took God's name in vain. You talked about communication with the Lord of hosts in an empty, meaningless way. And we take God's name in vain. How about today? A lot of Christian t-shirts, right? A lot of Christian t-shirts with funny messages of Jesus. Or fun messages also. How about bumper stickers, huh? You've seen a lot of bumper stickers out there? You see, a lot of buses have these stickers in the back or in the rear bumper sticker, or in the rear bumper, sorry, all these stickers in the front also. You ever seen those? I'm not against them, but you know, I wonder how many times we just take it so lightly. Here's them that I've seen. I've seen a lot, but you ever seen that one? Back off. This car is protected by the blood of Jesus. You ever seen that one? In Zambia, it's very common because people look at the blood of Jesus as having some magical powers to protect your car from accidents. As if Jesus died so that your car doesn't get a scratch. Or so that you don't have an accident. I've seen another one that says, "Honk if you love Jesus." That'd be a nice one to have if you have an atheist driving behind you, right? And then you stop at a green light and you don't go. You wait for the atheist to honk. Huh? No, but you see, people take it so lightly. Honk if you love Jesus. Now your love for Jesus is seen by honking, by hooting. Another one I saw is, "Honk if you love Jesus. Text if you want to see him." Another one, "Jesus is my homeboy." This one I thought was very blasphemous. "My boss is a Jewish carpenter." Another one I saw is, "Try Jesus. If you don't like him, Satan will always take you back." And then another one for when people get too close behind you. "Are you following Jesus this close?" See, people just take the name of God as a fun thing, as a funny thing. They put it in t-shirts, bumper stickers, you know, "Oh my God." And they use the name of God like nothing. If you have been guilty of that, I would plead with you, repent. And stop using God's name in vain. It is one of the Ten Commandments. In this passage, the priest did not care for God's name. He says, "You don't honor my name. You don't take it to heart. You don't listen." They did not listen, and they didn't do. They didn't take it to heart. To listen was essentially to obey. The word shama in the Greek. When he says in Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel." He wants their attention. He wants their obedience. To take it to heart was the attitude with which they would approach God. And they had the attitude they had to his name. It has to do with what God says. And to do it with the right attitude. That's what it means to listen and to take it to heart. It is to know that he sees everything, even your heart. And when you do a righteous thing, you have to do it also with the right heart. You have to obey the commandments and you have to obey him with the right attitude. But the priests were not. They were not taking his name seriously. They were not taking God seriously. And so you must listen to God with all your heart. Listen and obey. What happens when you don't listen? What happens when you don't take the name of the Lord seriously? Look at verse 2. Is you are cursed and you lose your blessings. You are cursed and you lose your blessings. Verse 2. If you will not listen, if you will not listen, If you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. So God will curse you and you will lose your blessings. Now, blessings and curses were two words that the Hebrews, the Israelites, were very familiar with. And these are words that we take very lightly today. We think of a curse of nothing else than a bad word we say, right? A curse word. We think of a blessing of always having all my material needs provided and even more. But sometimes we don't understand that at times material things are not a blessing, because they draw your heart away from God sometimes. And so we make of curse and blessing something so light. The word blessing means enrichment in the Hebrew. Physically, spiritually, and materially. And a blessing is a gift from God. In the New Testament, we find that most of the material blessings that the Bible talks about are always spiritual. Always spiritual. You may have material stuff provided, but if you're not walking with Jesus, if you don't care about His people, His church, then you don't have the greatest blessings. That stuff that you have will pass away. But God, what blessings had God given the priests? See, He had given them a lot of blessings. In addition to the normal blessings that He gave the people of God, like rain and crops and food and homes and peace and health and all that, blessings that God gives to all humanity. So there were other specific blessings for the priesthood. They were empowered to lead worship. They were empowered to teach the word. They would announce God's forgiveness of sin to the people, the full atonement of God. They would eat from their offerings the people brought. They would dwell in the sanctuaries and the priestly cities. They gained the respect of the congregation. It was a wonderful life for the priest. But they were to be faithful. God had given them so much. And so these were all the blessings. But conversely, the word curse essentially means to ban something, to expel somebody. That is to remove a person from the place of blessing. Or to remove the blessings from a person. So in 2:2, in chapter 2 and verse 2, God says that He has cursed their blessings. Means that He has already pronounced them unfit for ministry. He has taken everything He has given to them. The power of preaching God's word. The opportunity to lead worship. And if He removed the blessings, He would remove them from the priesthood. They would, and even if He didn't remove it from the priesthood, they would be ineffective. They would not have effectiveness in the ministry, even though they remained in office. He says, I removed your blessings. And we will see later on how that works out. They would not have God's favor. And this is still true today. Because of sin, often the blessings of God are removed from your life. The blessings of God can be removed. You may be a pastor, but if you don't take His word seriously, if you take it lightly, if you don't take your life and your walk and your character seriously, God will remove His blessings. If you are preparing for ministry, and you just see it as something you do, as school, you know, just getting a degree, God will remove His blessings. If you and your home give God the leftovers, you give Him the leftovers of your time. If you don't lead your family in the ways of the Lord, God will remove His blessings and His curse will come. He will not be happy. You see, He's telling the priest that he's not afraid of removing people from ministry. He says, I will remove you. I will remove your offspring, He says. I don't care. I care more about my name, God says, about my holiness, than about the ministry. I don't care if I have to close down a church. I don't care if the doors of a church need to be closed. But if the word is not being preached, if my name is not being honored and lifted up, I do not care. I will close it. That's what God is saying. Because he cares about his name more than he cares about ministry. More than he cares about, you know, people going to church. Just to warm up a chair. And to give him the leftovers because he cares about his holiness. That's why we preach. That's what we preach and practice in the church. Church discipline. That's why we confront sin. That's why we don't let sin just, you know, go on. Because we care about God's holiness. That's why, you know, when you start missing church a lot. Hey, we haven't seen you in a while. What's going on? Are you okay? And what's going on in your life? Because we don't want sin to go on. Because we care about God's holiness. And I wonder how many of us have lost the blessings of God because of our sin. How many of us do not listen? Do not take it to heart. And I wonder how many times God does not bless you because you do not take him seriously. Let me give you one more. I wonder how many times God does not bless you materially because you rob him. You rob him of what belongs to him. You ask, Lord, give me more money. Give me more things, Lord, please. But you can't be faithful with the little you have. With the little stuff you have. With the little salary we get. We are not faithful with that. Imagine if we love that little money we have. Imagine if God gave us a lot more. I wonder how many times God does not bless us materially. And that's not for me to decide. I don't know. It's only God and the sovereignty. But I wonder how many times he does not bless us materially because we are not faithful with what he gives us. You don't plan at the end of the month to give him what belongs to him. Say, God, I made 1,000 kwacha this month. I want to separate, 150 to give it to you because that's yours. And that's the first thing you must think of. Before you start thinking about buying everything for the month, you must think, how much am I going to give the Lord? It's all his anyway. He can take it in an instant from you if he wants. But I wonder how many times God does not bless you materially because of that. Or I wonder how many times God gives you material things as a curse. And your heart is drawn away from God. See, it's not about money in itself. It's about your heart. It's about how you see what God has given you. Some lose their blessings. Some lose the heart of their children. You grow up and you say, but why is my child behaving like that? Why is he doing those things? Well, I wonder if God did not curse because you never taught him God's word. You took God not so seriously because you hardly ever took him to church to hear God's word and to be confronted by it. You never shared the gospel with him. And then you wonder, why are my children like that? How do you expect God's blessings? So, if you do not take him seriously, first thing is that you will lose your blessings. Number two, or letter B, what happens when you don't take him seriously? Those under your care will suffer. Those under your care will suffer. He says in verse 3, behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread the dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. He says, I will rebuke your offspring, which is a very strong word to rebuke. The offspring refers to the children and the descendants of the priest. You see, the priesthood, the Levites, they descended from Levi. One of the, you know, the 12 sons of Jacob. They descended from Levi, all the priests. And you became a priesthood by descendants. So God ordained that all the Levites would be priests. But he says, I will rebuke your offspring. Your children will be rebuked, will be removed, won't be ineffective. The Lord will not use their descendants. He will render them useless and ineffective in the ministry because of the sins of their fathers, which they were being passed down to the next generation of priests. The fathers were teaching the children, it's okay to treat God with contempt. So God is going to say, not only are you going to lose your blessings, but also your children will be cursed. I will rebuke your offspring. I will remove him from the ministry. I will make him ineffective. And this can also happen to us. Preachers, if you are not faithful, the next generation will be rebuked, will be ineffective, will not even be believers, or if they're believers, they will be very shallow and superficial in their Christianity because their fathers, their preachers, were not faithful to God's word. For you men who are training for the ministry, if you don't take this to heart, your hearers, your listeners, your future congregants will be rebuked by God because you are not faithful. But listen, yes, the passage addresses primarily the priests, the leaders. But as we learned last week, follow this, because as we learned last week in 1 Peter, all of us are priests. If you are a true Christian, you are a priest before God. The Bible says that Christians are a royal priesthood. You're a nation, you're a kingdom of priests. So we are all priests because we all represent God. When you go out, you represent God. When you access God, it's because you're a priest. Because of your high priest who entered heaven, you as a priest have access to heaven also. So you are a priest. And let me ask you, what kind of worship are you allowing in your life as a priest? As a priest, what kind of worship are you allowing in your life? In your home? As a father, you are the priest of your home. What kind of worship are you allowing in your home? You may be one of those that always defends their kids, right? No matter what, my kid is always right. You see, you met parents like that? Their kids can never do wrong. We're all seeing the sins of the kids, but the parents always cover up their sins and their faults. You allow them to be lazy and irresponsible. You allow them to be superficial in their Christian walk. You don't even share the gospel with them. You don't even know if your kids are Christian because you never share God's word with them. Or another thing parents do as priests of their home. I want to give my children everything I didn't have when I was growing up. You ever heard that demonic philosophy? The things that you didn't have is what made you what you are. Now you want to make your children a spoiled brat. What kind of worship are you allowing? Or another bad philosophy parents say, I've heard this many times, the best thing you can give your child is a good education. I just haven't found that verse yet in the Bible, right? The best thing you can give your children is a good education. I haven't found it in the Bible. Maybe you can show it to me. But the best thing you can give your children is to teach them God's word and you to live it out for them. What will they gain? If they gain the whole world, if they gain great education, if they go to a great school, but they're walking away from God, they're not following Jesus. Parents, because they consider education more important than anything else, they only want material success for their children. That's all they dream of for their children. And they fear, they tremble. They would fear if the children came and said, Dad, I want to be a pastor. Oh, but son, you know, you're going to struggle. You're going to starve. People are not going to like you. Oh, many parents fear of the day, of the possibility that a child could tell them, I want to be in the ministry. Because they dream of them only material things that will pass away. Or because all they care is about the education of their children, they send them away at a young age. 8, 9, 10 years old. and they go and give their kids to a school that has a government curriculum or another curriculum, and they're being raised by Caesar. And then you wonder why they're coming home behaving like Romans. You know? Right? And we send them away. Your responsibility is to train your child in the way he should go. Not the school. Not a boarding school. He's already acting foolishly, and you send him to live permanently with other foolish kids. And then you expect him to be a good child? Are you serious? Not only is it logical, but it's also unbiblical. Because it is your responsibility. If your child is not the best engineer, who cares? Is he following Jesus? If he's not the best reader, if he's not getting the best education, it doesn't matter. What matters is he following Jesus? Are you teaching him God's word? I'm not saying education is not important. Believe me, I know the value of it. It's very important. The problem is when we make it a God for our kids. Now, what kind of things are you allowing in your house as a priest? As a priest of the Lord, what kind of teaching are you paying attention to? Here's another one. Those under you will suffer if you're not a good priest. But also, what kind of teaching are you allowing in your life, in your home? You know, I hear so many people say to me, you know, what you say makes sense. I can see it's true, but. Well, if it's true, there's no buts. Or there shouldn't be any buts, right? If it's true, you say, God has said so, I will follow. And as you know, we take the teaching and preaching of God's word very seriously here at this church. We confront, we rebuke, we teach, even if people get offended by the truth. And believe me, many have. But I find it so interesting that people in the past, and even some leave good churches that are preaching the truth. That's just crazy, right? You hear the truth preached there. You're being told what God says, but then you say, no, goodbye. Right? Let's go to another place. Because I don't like to be rebuked. And that's the worship you're allowing. That's the teaching you're paying attention to. You go and go to a church where the Bible says that the many will have itchy ears. And then you go to a place where they will scratch that itch. Where they will tell you, it's okay, you know, we all love each other. And we love each other, but loving each other means we confront each other with the truth. I just find it interesting that you get told the truth and you walk away from it because we don't want it. What kind of place are you going to hear the truth, the Bible? What kind of teaching do you pay attention to? What kind of books do you read? Not everything that has a label of Christian is actually Christian. You know that. Joel Osteen writes a book, you know, Your Best Life Now. But that's already, a dead giveaway. If your best life is now, then you're going to hell. You're not going to heaven. Not everything that says they're Christian, not every pastor out there that says in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, they truly care about the name of Jesus and his holiness. What kind of teaching are you listening to? So God wants you to obey Him, to take Him seriously. Or, if you don't, there will be a lot of problems. Right? You will lose your blessings. Those under you will suffer. But also, God will reject your worship and your offerings. God will reject your offering and your worship. God uses very strong words here. He says, look at verse 3. He says, I will spread the dung, the excrement on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. What a strong language. God is so angry because he takes his name seriously and he says, I will take the excrement of your offerings. See, what would happen is, he's speaking figuratively, obviously. He's not literally going to do it. But what he's saying is, when the offering was brought to the temple, the priest had to kill it. It was a bloody scene. But then the intestines, the inner, you know, things, and the dung of the and the excrement of the animals were supposed to be taken out of the camp into outside into a place where they would be burnt. There were a lot of animals that were brought for sacrifice, so there was a lot of excrement around, you know, so then they would all have to be cleaned out and taken outside the city to an unclean place where it would be burned. And God says to the priest, I will take that dung and spread it on your face, meaning I will shame you before the people. I will shame you before the people. That's why many pastors are caught and God reveals many of their sins so that there will be shame before the people. The dung is spread on their faces. See how strong that language is? And as a priest of your home, as a priest of your life, God may do that with you if you don't take it seriously. Then he says, and you shall be taken away with it. See, the dung was supposed to be taken out and be burnt. He says, that's what's going to happen to you too. You will be removed. He's saying, you will be considered unclean. And you will be taken out to the unclean place like the excrement. And you will be burnt. You will be removed. You will be in a rubbish heap. Your ministry will be over. God rejects them. And he rejects the sacrifices and offerings. And maybe God is rejecting your sacrifices and offerings if you're giving him the leftovers. He will consider you unclean and take you away. Are you this kind of priest that is offering polluting offerings and thus rejected by God? Because you are a priest of the Lord, you must take his teaching and his name seriously. You must take God and his teaching seriously. So I need to move on because I only have a few minutes. And I just finished my first point and I still have two more. But we're going to go very fast, okay? Because this was the heart of the passage. So number two, how do you take God seriously? How do you take God and his teaching seriously? You must consider and imitate the examples of other godly people. Not only must you listen and take it to heart, but also you must consider the examples of godly people. And, you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to grow up and be a basketball player. I loved sports. Those of you who know me, I love sports. It was my idol growing up, unfortunately. But I still love sports. I have to control myself from watching sports and highlights and all that. And the problem is I just don't like one sport. I like all of them. You know, especially football, basketball, and baseball. You know, and so, you know, I used to know all the stats, the batting average of all the players. You know, the point averages of all the NBA players. You know, the goals and assists of football players. To this day, I know a little bit. I try to keep up with some, but you know, I try to remove that idol of my life. But I love sports, and I wanted. Those were my heroes. Whew. Those, especially basketball players, you know, because, you know, they were my heroes. And we all have heroes. We all have people we look up to. And so God in this passage turns their attention to their forefather, Levi. Look at verse 5 through 7. He says, my covenant with him, Levi, he said that in verse 4, my covenant with him, with Levi, was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest shall guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is a messenger of the Lord. So you must consider and imitate the examples of godly people. He was the third son of Jacob, Levi, and he walked with God. To him was given a covenant that his descendants would be God's priests. Okay? And Levi walked with God. He took his name seriously, the honor of God seriously. So He calls the priests now to consider the example of their forefather, Levi. And though the Bible calls us to imitate primarily the example of Jesus, we also find the Bible, others that say, imitate me. Paul says, imitate me many times. At least four times he says, imitate me. Be imitators of me, Paul says. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Are you able to say, would you be able to say to somebody, hey, be like me because I'm following Jesus? Have you reached that stage in your sanctification that you confidently, not with pride, but with humility, you know in your heart that you're following Jesus and you can say, hey, be like me, imitate me. Could you say that? Like Paul? And the author of Hebrews encourages Christians to imitate their leaders only if they're living a godly life. He says, remember you leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So when you look at the example of godly Christians, you must imitate them. But what kind of things must you imitate? What do you imitate? You imitate their commitment. See, in verse 5, God tells us not only what kind of covenant he made with Levi, but he mentions that Levi fulfilled the obligations of the covenant. He was committed to serving God and to being faithful to the covenant. He feared the name of God. He stood, the Bible says there, that he stood in awe of his name in the end of verse 5. He says, he stood in awe of my name. He had amazement for me. He cared for me. So you must imitate the commitment of other Christians. He reminded these rebellious priests that Levi was committed and that he understood the name, the greatness of the name of God. And Levi was given life and peace. Eternal life and peace in this life. And you know what? It was critical for them and for ministers today to have a spiritual life, good spiritual life and peace in the ministry, so that they can communicate with others easily God's word. And this statement indicates, of life and peace, indicates that Levi was committed to the covenant. Who do you imitate? Whose commitment do you imitate? The commitment of others to make money? Or the commitment of Christians to walk godly before God? So, number two. Or letter B, what do you imitate? You imitate their character. Verse 6. This is the character of Levi. True instruction was in his mouth. He was true. No wrong was found in his lip. He was not a liar. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. See, he walked in a manner worthy of the calling which he had received, of the covenant. And he turned many from iniquity. He said, all of you, come, follow God. Are you that kind of Christian? Are you imitating God in other Christians? Are you imitating those who follow Jesus? Those who have a commitment and those who have a character of truthfulness, a character of walking in life and light, and a character of bringing others, confronting others with the truth? Or are you pampering people in their sin? Are you allowing sin in your life? Or do you have a godly character? Are you learning from others? Other people's godly characters. Do you want to honor his name as others honor the name of God? There are many people in history that have honored God's name, gave their lives for Jesus, have a lot of heroes of their faith. I love Hudson Taylor's life. He was a missionary to China. His life just brings me to my knees. I've read his biography about four times. And oh my, I love it. Adoniram Judson, another missionary. I love his biography. And other Christians that have walked in the faith. Are you following their example, their commitment, their character? Imitate their teaching. That's the next thing. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6 and 7. True instruction was found in his mouth. Speaking of his teaching. Look at verse 7. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. Imitate their teaching. Levi taught the right thing. He taught truth, and no lie was found in his lips. The priests performed many duties, such as sacrifices and other things. But first and foremost, they were teachers. And teaching God's word is so important. They were to teach the scriptures. Malachi reminds the minister that the primary function of a pastor, of a teacher, of a priest is to teach God's word. The lips of the priest must preserve knowledge, the knowledge of God. And instruction should be found in his mouth. The knowledge must be spiritual knowledge. Doctrines, righteousness. Ministers must not neglect the principle and their main responsibility to teach God's word. That's why we take doctrine here so seriously. Because without good doctrine, without sound teaching, without good knowledge, you cannot have good applications. That's why we spend time teaching the context, the passage, you know, Bible studies, because we want people to know God's word so that they can apply it. You know, a lot of people make the mistake of jumping from, read the passage and then immediately apply it. And so I just want something. I want to apply it. Why do we have to study? We have to apply it. Just that's all. That's not the way it is in the Bible. We must teach the word of God. Now, teaching without application is also worthless, right? We're just expanding people's brains. But that's not the point. When you teach the right thing, as Levi did, when you teach the right doctrine, the right application will follow. Right life and godliness will follow. And those who do not want that will walk away. And even from this church, those who do not want the right doctrine will walk away to a place where they can have their ears scratched. So, what about you, your home, at work? Is instruction found in your lips? Is knowledge of God found in your lips? Or do people know you as an angry person at work? Always lashes out at others or at home instead of finding godly instruction in your lips. Is that you as a priest? Are you taking his teaching seriously? Are you taking his word seriously? Then finally, because you're a priest of the Lord, you must take God and his word seriously and his teaching seriously. But how do you take it seriously? We say by listening, taking it to heart. Number two, by following the example of other godly people. Number three, and finally, you must analyze your current character and worship. How do you take God seriously and his teaching? By analyzing your current character and your current worship. We don't do that so much. We don't take time to be still and to analyze our heart. Do I truly know him? Am I truly a Christian? Some of you here today don't know Jesus Christ, and you think you do just because you go to church, just because you do some Christian rituals, just because you hang out with Christians. But that does not make you a Christian. Have you thought about it? Have you analyzed your heart and said, do I truly know God? Do I truly know Jesus? Or do you just think that because you're a Zambian, or because you live in this nation, or because you've always go to church, then you're a Christian? No. But then also, do you analyze your heart and your character? Look at verse 8. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. Verse 8 and 9 emphasize the sins of the priest and the contempt they showed for God's name and worship. But how do you know? How do you analyze your character and your current worship? Ask yourself these questions. First question, have you turned aside from the path of righteousness? They had deliberately changed the course of their service. They did not study. They did not tell people the truth. They did not live out the faith before the people. They made no converts. Divine service did not change anyone. The service of the priest did not change anyone? See, the service of God, God had not changed, but they had. They changed. They turned away. They in verse 8, but you have turned aside from the way, the right way. Have you turned aside from the right way? We have seen many, unfortunately, turned aside from the right way. They turn to places they shouldn't, or they just stopped walking with Jesus. Maybe the priest thought, oh, we're making some good innovations, some practical innovations, right? We're cutting corners so that people don't have to wait in line for the sacrifice, so they don't have to bring the best of their sacrifice. They can sell it and make money, but they still bring, right? They bring the lame, the sick, and the dying, right? That which has been taken by violence, who just been stolen. But they're still bringing stuff. And the priest said, oh, we're innovating so people, you know, get a better life. And many pastors today do that. They innovate instead of being faithful to God and His Word. What do people like? They like deliverance. Well, let's have a time of deliverance. They like healing. Everyone, right? I saw this pastor on YouTube. He says he does miraculous weight loss. In the name of Jesus, lose weight, says. I don't have his phone number, so sorry. I would have visited him already, but, you know, he also does miraculous hair growth. If you're going bald, then he's going to help you. In the name of Jesus, have new hair. And they're innovating. People innovate with all these stuff, right? But we don't want to do that. The centrality of God's Word and His preaching must be there. Have you turned aside from righteousness? Are you walking with Jesus in your life? The second thing we see. Have you led others astray with your life and teaching? That's another question you must ask yourself. He says, but you have turned aside from the way, you have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Have you caused others to stumble with your life and teaching? Instead of teaching the truth, they were liberal in their doctrine, and therefore they led many astray. Are you doing that? Today, we have so many false prophets whose doctrine and whose teaching take people to hell. Do not listen to them. Beware of what you teach. Beware of what you hear. Beware of what people say out there. In fact, beware of what you teach, but also beware of what you advise. Hey, you know, I'm thinking about my child is 10 and there's no good schools here. I'm thinking about sending my child to boarding school. You say, oh yeah, that's true, because the best thing you can give your child is a good education. Be aware of what you advise, because you're going to lead others astray. And if it was me, I would say, no. I'd rather have a child not going to school for a few months and send him away and give him to Caesar. You follow? Beware of what you advise other people. We think our advice is always right, huh? Beware of what you say, because you may lead others astray. Beware of what you advise your children. Beware of what you teach them, with your example. You don't read the Word. You don't spend time with God. You know what you're teaching your children? They're going to be led astray. You don't take them to church. You know what you're teaching them? It's okay. God is not important. There are other things that are more important. You're leading them astray. You're not training them in the way they should go. Finally, have you kept the ways of the Lord? Have you kept the ways of the Lord? The Lord says to the priest that he would make him despise. Look at verse 9. And so I make you despise and abase before all the people, and as much as you do not keep my ways. Have you kept the ways of the Lord? God would leave them to themselves and their office, powerless, without God's enablement and blessings. And He will humiliate them. And now they would be exposed. And they are exposed now, He says. Now you are exposed. Now you are abased before all the people. Now I've spread the dung of your sacrifices on your faces. You've been shamed now because you have turned away. You do not keep my ways. Everyone would know that they were unfaithful. They would not be respected. Just living out their lives as failed ministers. Are you living out your life as a failed priest today? If you're not following the ways of the Lord, people will not listen to you. Your hearers will ignore you, not take you seriously. Your children will walk away. Your hearers will ignore your teaching. Your wife or husband will not respect you. Your children will walk away from the faith and the Lord, and they will despise your teaching when you try to tell them, hey, why are you behaving like that? What authority you have to say that when you do not walk in the ways of the Lord, when you had led him astray? Now we've learned the following today. We learned what a priest must do. He must take it to heart and to listen. We learned what a priest must be. He must be one like Levi, like other people that are godly. And we learned what a priest must avoid, right? To walk away from the faith, to lead others astray. So, you are a priest of the Lord, all of you today. How is your current character? How is your current worship? Is your life honoring to God? How is your worship and sacrifices? Are they acceptable to God, or do they nauseate God? Is your instruction biblical, or are you leading others astray with your life and character and your teaching? I hope you meditate on these, and meditate on these as we pray right now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. For you are God, and there is no other. And Lord, would you watch? Would you watch over us, Father, so that we would walk in your ways, so that we would preserve knowledge, so that we would have a godly character, so that we would bring offerings, Lord, that are acceptable to you. So Lord, we don't want to take your name in vain. We don't want to take your name so lightly with our words, with our actions. Father, we want to take you seriously. I pray this morning, Father, that you would cause people to fall on their knees today. Their knees so that they will come in repentance. Many of us have not lived a life that is honoring to you at times. Some have led their children astray. Others astray with their advice that is not biblical, with their teaching and with their life that does not reflect God. Others don't take church seriously. Don't take the instruction of God's word seriously. Father, would you bring them to their knees? Bring repentance and humility today. I pray that you call us, Lord, this morning. That you would speak to us. That you would not let us go out without being convicted and rebuked by you, Father, in a good way. We don't want to be shamed. And we don't want to give you the leftovers. We want to give you the best of us. Father, I pray that you will help us, because we are all priests of God, that we will take your name and honor seriously. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.